live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? How are you doing out there? Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Happy Hump Day. That's right. It is Wednesday, July 19, 2017. And you are now in store for yet another great hour of sports talk. Well, today is Current Sports. We'll talk about the Detroit Tigers as they dominated local headlines yesterday. When it came to a certain trade that included a fan favorite, got to be real with you guys. A lot of you love this player. And many Detroit Tigers fans out there were a bit heartbroken after hearing about him no longer being a part of the Detroit Tigers organization. We'll break down the trade that everyone is talking about when it concerns the old English D. Also, Detroit Pistons, of course, they made headlines when they traded, they just decided not to keep KCP on board. Let's put it that way, right? Letting him go, renouncing him, and picking up Avery Bradley, formerly of the Boston Celtics. Were the Pistons in the wrong when it comes to that move? We'll discuss that. And we also have two fantastic guests that will join me live here in Studio West. There's a big announcement coming. A big announcement coming in about 30 minutes. Segment B, we will chat with Jimmy and Trevor Manuel. Jimmy is the father of Trevor. Trevor, a former Lansing hoop star who played for Lansing Everett as well as Lansing Sexton. Went on to take his basketball talents to Oregon, decided to transfer to Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles, California, and now he will be making another transfer. He has not told anyone else this news concerning which school exactly he will be transferring to. He is going to let the world know where he will be transferring to live here on our airwaves. So you do not want to miss that announcement. Again, Jimmy and Trevor Manuel, live here in Studio West. Keep it locked. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about last night's Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am as Miles Bridges just went completely off as he usually does, right? But I must say the game before that was a bit more compelling, seeing as though it did go into double overtime. And I have some thoughts on a certain Michigan State men's basketball player who will be a sophomore next year who is really impressing me. Again, take these thoughts, though, that I'll unleash later on this hour with a huge truckload of salt, seeing as though this is summer league basketball and there is absolutely no defense being played. Guys going half speed. Don't want to risk injury during a summer league basketball game, right? But just looking at his game, looking at this player's game, I foresee some big things in his men's basketball future with Sparty. And we will discuss Bovada, the casino out in Las Vegas, setting the over-under for wins at 6.5 for Michigan State football. That and more. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Of course, we have to start with the Detroit Tigers. They have traded J.D. Martinez to the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday. J.D. was not hiding his disappointment, and he was already discussing the possibility of actually coming back to Detroit in a few months when he does become a free agent. Unfortunately for Martinez, it's a possibility that the Tigers have all but ruled out as they seek to cut costs and get younger. Martinez's affection for his teammates was returned Tuesday night as a line of players formed to say their goodbyes in the tunnel outside the third base dugout. A lot of tears shed yesterday, as it was, if it was going to be hard to take off the Tigers jersey for the first time. Martinez said he wasn't going to give his back. He was quoted in saying, quote, "I think I'm going to take it with me. Detroit will always have a special place in my heart. It hurts me leaving it. I feel like it really hasn't sunk in yet," end quote. Well, many Detroit Tigers fans out there are still digesting that news. We will have more on the trade of J.D. Martinez in just a moment. Detroit Lions defensive end Armonte Bryant has found trouble yet again and has been suspended for the first four games this season for violating the NFL's policy for substance abuse. Bryant will be eligible to return to the Lions' active roster on October 2nd. He is allowed to participate in all of the team's preseason games and practices. The latest suspension is the third in a year for Bryant. He served a four-game suspension last season while he was with the Browns for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing drugs. Just cannot keep his system clean. Bryant then served a three-game suspension midway through the season while with the Lions for violating the league's policy on drugs of abuse, which stemmed from a 2015 arrest on a misdemeanor charge for attempting drug possession. Washington Redskins quarterback and former Spartan Kirk Cousins called the team's offer on a long-term deal, quote, "fair," end quote, and added that team executive Bruce Allen has his respect. Even if many saw the fact that Allen released the details of negotiations as a bit questionable. Yesterday, in an interview with 106.7 The Fan, Cousins said, quote, "My take will be different than what it appeared the public perception was. I understand where he and the organization are coming from. I think in his position, you have to do that," end quote. It was Cousins' first public statement since the two failed to agree on a long-term contract by Monday's 4 p.m. deadline. And the starting quarterback will play the 2017 season under the one-year franchise tag. Nearly a month ago, South Point Sportsbook listed Michigan State football. It's over-under win total at 5. And yesterday, another big betting agency, Bovada, released its over-under numbers, and the Spartans are trending upwards. Bovada has set the line at 6.5 wins, with the over at plus 160 and under at minus 200. The Spartans look like the younger brother for next year, however, as Michigan's over-under is listed at a hefty 9. We'll have more on that during the back end of the show. Also, speaking of Michigan football, Michigan will be welcoming another 5-star running back on campus this month. Quavarius Crouch a 2019 five-star prospect from Harding University High School in Charlotte, North Carolina. He told Scout.com that he will visit the Wolverines for the Barbecue at the Big House annual recruiting event on July 19th, just 10 days from now. At 6'2" and 224 pounds, Crouch is the numero uno running back and number 16 overall player in the 2019 class. He has more than a dozen offers, including Michigan, Clemson, Stanford, and Alabama. He visited Alabama earlier this week. And Michigan basketball news. Michigan has now its first opponent for the 2017 Maui Invitational. The Wolverines will face LSU at 11 p.m., 6:30 p.m. local time over there, 11:30 p.m. here Eastern time, on November 20th in an opening round game of the annual tournament in Hawaii. The game will air on ESPNU. If the Wolverines win, they'll advance to play the winner of Notre Dame and Chaminade the next day. Marquette, VCU, Cal, and Wichita State are on the top half of the bracket. The tournament title game will take place Wednesday, November 22nd. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's former Detroit Pistons jersey number 5 is already taken, but as he moves on to the L.A. Lakers, the shooting guard displayed the purple and gold number 1 jersey before he was introduced by Lakers Hall of Famer President Magic Johnson and General Manager Rob Pelinka at a Tuesday news conference at the team's headquarters near L.A. International Airport. Caldwell-Pope agreed to a 1-year, $18 million deal with L.A. on July 12, 5 days after the Pistons unceremoniously rescinded the qualifying offer after the trade with the Boston Celtics for Avery Bradley. And last but certainly not least, it was yet another day in which the Aim High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan was jam-packed. There have been some good games and crazy moments this summer at the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Team Red took on Team Black yesterday, and the game was so intense it went into double overtime. Last night was another great game between Team Green and Team Silver. Miles Bridges and Tum Tum Nairn against Cassius Winston and Matt Costello, who we haven't seen in quite some time. He played in his first Moneyball game in place of Nick Ward. Team Green was trailing going into halftime, but Miles picked up the heat by making every three basically from half court. He's got some range. He really does. Bridges dunking left and right. He even had a one shot that he made by throwing the ball into the basket over his shoulder, not even looking. I mean, it was like watching the Harlem Globetrotters when watching Miles Bridges play on any given Tuesday or Thursday night. Team Green won the game, and get this, Miles Bridges had 57 points in that game last night. That's insane. 57 points for Miles Bridges last night. Yeah, a lot of defense being played at these games. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports and tweet us at WKAR_sports at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, later on this hour, our guests for today's show, Jimmy and Trevor Manuel. Trevor, former Lansing hoop great, who played for Lansing Everett and previously before that stint with Lansing Sexton. Trevor, live here on our airwaves, is going to unleash the news of what school he will be transferring to take his basketball talents. Don't miss that and more. Let's start the show.
Oh, all 40,000 people here in attendance. They're on their feet.
I don't believe I just saw that.
J.D. Martinez, who sort of resurrected his career with the Tigers after the Houston Astros let him go, is now sent to the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is in his free agent season, and John Paul Morosi, you've been following this story not just today, but for the days leading up to today. What can you tell us about what you heard, and was anybody else interested in J.D., and what did the Tigers get for him in return?
Yeah, John, well, the D-backs have been the team that I think have been the most interested the last several days, and the reason is very simple. They're in the National League West. Lots of lefties, Simo, in that division. Kershaw, Hill, and Wood, yes. Bumgarner, Block, Moore. So many lefties. The D-backs have struggled against lefties this season, and J.D., I think up until a couple of days ago, batting about 500 right. against lefties. So really a perfect fit for that ball club, for that ballpark. Everything about that deal makes so much sense for Arizona. Now, for the Tigers side of things, I think one name that I'm hearing a lot in this deal is King, the younger kid, rookie ball, shortstop. That, I think, is emblematic of what the Tigers realize they have to do here. You might have to take a chance here. You're not going to get the sure thing. You're probably not going to get, especially for a rental player, Simo, right. for 2 months. You're not going to get the sure thing. You're not going to get Kyle Schwarber or someone like that from last year. He's not that type of a guy. He's a younger guy. You have to be patient with this. This is the beginning of a longer process for the Tigers.
JD, how tough is this for you?
You know, it's definitely hard. Now told me it's kind of one of those things. It's like you knew it was happening. You knew it was going to happen. And, you know, you really don't know how you're going to feel. It doesn't really hit you till they tell you. So it's definitely tough. You know, I love this team. I love this organization. You know, I love the fans. I love everything in Detroit. You know, that's home for me. You know, I've always said that. Like, they were the organization that believed in me when everyone else passed. They were the ones that gave me the opportunity when everyone else didn't. I think it's, you know, it's definitely, I would say it's probably when I'm getting to the locker room in the clubhouse. You know, once you walk in that clubhouse, it's, you know, you're no longer a Tiger, you're a Diamondback now. And it's going to be weird. Obviously, it's in a new clubhouse, new players, but, you know, they got a great team over there. You know, they've been good for a reason. And, you know, I'm just hoping to go over there and just hop on their train and just do what I can to help them keep doing what they've been doing.
Can we cut the music right now?
Let's just stop. Stop with it, Isaac. Shout out to Jacob Herbert. He really worked hard on this. This was actually Jacob's first time cutting our intro for today's show. He actually brought me live in studio. For those tuning in via Facebook.com/CurrentSports, he brought in a box of tissue. And that was a very heartwarming intro, Jacob. I must say, before I go on my rant about the Detroit Tigers trade here, did you have a certain affinity for JD? Where you had to be to put together something that emotional and that tear jerking, you had to have some invested fandom here when it came to JD Martinez. What's your reaction to the JD Martinez trade, Jacob? You must have really liked the dude.
I do, and I think a lot of people in Detroit, Detroit fans always kind of have this, I don't exactly know what to call it, but they fall in love with their players, right? Especially their star players.
True.
And it goes beyond baseball, I just think JD's story in particular is really great. I mean, here's a guy who was cut by the Astros. Mm-hmm. They were, at the time, one of the worst teams in the league, and the Tigers gave him a shot, and he's turned into a star, so... He's a really nice guy, really, really cared about Detroit. I'm going to miss him. But I wish him all the best in Arizona. He's got a chance to win a ring now.
Great player. Touching moment. But I'm not shedding any tears, all right? We knew this was coming. If you haven't heard by now, if you've been living under a rock since yesterday evening, the Detroit Tigers have traded J.D. Martinez to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Tigers acquired infielders Deuel Lugo, Sergio Alcantara, and Jose King. Three players who are relatively unknown. And it was so funny because yesterday when I tweeted out the news about the acquisitions of Alcantara, King, and Lugo, I had to be quickly reminded, because the name Lugo did sound very familiar. I had to be reminded, though, that Lugo actually is a former Lansing Lugnuts player. How about that? Because Lugo, who right now is 22 years old, he actually at one point signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. Of course, the Lugnuts are an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. He signed with the Blue Jays for a $1.3 million signing bonus back in the day. But we all knew this was coming, all right? The Detroit Tigers have underperformed for much of this season. As we now embark on the second half of the year, the Tigers simply aren't cutting the mustard despite what this current four-game win streak says. And many fans, it's so interesting when you try to put your finger on the pulse of the reaction to this news, many fans are not thrilled about this trade because you trade a man in J.D. Martinez who is batting 305, one of the rare shining lights for this squad right now. He has a 388 OBP, on base percentage, and he has hit relatively well throughout his career with the old English D. However, we all knew that moves were coming. The July 31st trade deadline is quickly approaching now, and as we've stated, the Detroit Tigers, this is not breaking news. We all knew that the Tigers were going to be sellers. And if you are going to get younger and better and go through a period of rebuild, this is what is going to have to happen. Simple as that. This is what is going to have to happen. And I think more so what has shocked Detroit Tigers fans with this move is what the Tigers received, which were basically prospects in these three, unknown prospects. It was not realistic when you evaluate the market right now, not realistic to think that the Tigers were going to get some top 100 prospect who can come in and after a week or two make an immediate impact. Simply not going to happen. A lot of emotion surrounding this move, though. You saw how the camera followed J.D. Martinez as he got the news and he conducted an interview and got a bit emotional about how he's going to miss the Detroit Tigers franchise and what this franchise means to him, how the Detroit Tigers gave him a shot when no other team would. And he had some great years here, without a doubt. You saw teammates hugging him, embracing him, shedding tears for him. Even one teammate saying, hey, go over there and win a World Series, wishing him well. He was a fan favorite. But this is the business of professional sports. And if you are not, as a team, cutting the mustard and winning games, moves need to be made. Now, much like you, I tweeted out last night and said that I was not thrilled about the move because you basically trade a big name in J.D. Martinez, a big bat in J.D. Martinez for three relatively unknown prospects. What do the Tigers get out of this? We have no idea whether or not Lugo, Alcantara, and King, whether or not those three players are going to blossom into possibly big prospects that can come in and make any kind of impact for the Detroit Tigers. So why was J.D. Martinez, in the eyes of many fans out there, traded for three unknown prospects? Well, again, when you evaluate the market that is Major League Baseball right now, just about every position player on playoff contending teams we're set. Already set in stone. And it was also reported that his below average defending did hurt his marketability. So even though he's a great bet, defense not great. Not on that same par as what he's able to do when he gets up there swinging. And actually, this is coming from the Detroit Free Press. One AL executive, whose name was not directly quoted, but one AL executive said, quote, "More than one team considered the $4.8 million left on his 2017 salary as a deal breaker before the Tigers even advanced to swapping names with those teams. Their inability to take on his remaining salary disqualified them," end quote. The market was not going to produce a huge return. A lot of that having to do with that remaining $4.8 million. So basically what happens here, you rent JD Martinez for 2 months and then he goes back on the market. We'll see what happens with that. He will certainly be missed, but let's be real here. This is a Detroit Tigers team right now that is in rebuild mode. Lugo, Alcantara, and King. Again, the three unknowns, right? A little bit of background about Lugo, Alcantara, and King. Lugo is 22 years old. He's going to go to AA. I mentioned how he signed with the Blue Jays for a $1.3 million signing bonus. So there seems to be some upside when it comes to Lugo, some potential there. He has a 277, 308, 397 line during his six-year minor league career. He's batting 282, 325, and 428 for a 753 OPS this year. He has seven homers, 21 doubles, four triples. He'll be going to AA. Alcantara, he's 21 years old, 1 year younger than Lugo. He's hitting 255, 343, 323, excuse me, 322 across five minor league seasons. 279, 344, and 362 are his batting averages. He has mainly played shortstop in advanced A this year. Jose King. Look at King. He's being touted as the player with, and you hear this a lot in sports, the, quote, highest ceiling. He's only 18 years old. He's played a handful of games with the Arizona Rookie League. High upside. That's what you hear a lot when discussing Jose King. Played in the Dominican Summer League. Hit 330. And you look at what certain scouts have said about King's game. Many consider him to have great speed and the tools to become and turn out to be a solid player. But these are three players, when reading their backgrounds, when evaluating their stats, three prospects that Tigers fans don't expect to come in immediately and to make a splash. This is what rebuild mode looks like. Detroit Tigers fans, I'm here to tell you right now, more moves will be made. And just as Jacob's little heart was broken when hearing the news of JD Martinez, there will be some of your fan favorites out there. Exactly. There will be some of your fan favorites out there that will be shipped to other teams for prospects. This is what the market entails right now. I was a bit shocked, I must admit. When you hear JD Martinez, that name associated with three no-name prospects, that's what the Tigers got in return. And there were many great memes on social media. Probably my favorite one had to be the Charlie Brown Halloween episode where they are comparing sacks of candy. And there's a meme that says, "Oh, what did you get?" "Oh, I got a rock." And then in the other bag, you see like a boatload of candy. That's basically what it feels like. And I think that's an accurate summary of how many Detroit Tigers fans are feeling right now. But this is what a true seller's market looks like for the Detroit Tigers team. And you are going to see similar moves made. I probably not on the scale of JD Martinez. I think JD Martinez is probably the biggest name that we'll see shipped in this market. We knew he was not going to be a part of this franchise much longer. But names like Alex Avila, Ian Kinsler, Justin Wilson, Justin Upton, and even Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera are on the market. We'll see what their returns look like. Isaac, quick thoughts on the JD Martinez move. We saw it coming. The only thing I'm shocked about, as I keep reiterating here, is how JD was exchanged for three no names. How do you evaluate this trade as the trade deadline looms a little over 10 days from now?
Well, Al, have you ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber?
Of course.
Yeah, classic. Great movie. Jeff Daniels, Jim Carrey.
Yep.
You remember that one scene where they're trying to go to Colorado and there's this bifurcation of the road. It goes in two separate directions, and in one, it's Nebraska. The other, it's Colorado. The thing is, they took off in the way of Nebraska instead of Colorado, and they're going fast. They're having a great time on this road trip, all of that. That's a great analogy for the Tigers front office, because the Tigers front office, for one, you could call them dumb and dumber. But the other part of that is that throughout this time, the Tigers have been going down the wrong road. They've been going in the wrong direction because they've been deluding themselves into thinking, oh, we can win a World Series this year. We can win a World Series this year. We can win a World Series this year. That ship's been gone for some time. So, no, the Tigers, they didn't make the right move. But the thing is, they've been going down the wrong road forever, and they finally, even if it's going 20 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, they're going down the right road right now. So, no, it wasn't a great return. In fact, it was quite a cruddy return for the Detroit Tigers. They got almost nobody of notice. But at the same time, they finally started to realize, let's rebuild. Let's not live this delusional dream anymore. So this should actually be welcome as good news for Detroit Tigers fans.
And let's be realistic here. This is what the market looks like right now. This is, in many scouts' estimations, this actually was probably the best you were going to get in exchange for JD Martinez. When just evaluating what the market looks like right now, there were not a lot of teams that were willing to take on that $4.8 million and to ship a possible big name in exchange for JD Martinez. That was just unrealistic. Now, if there's any criticism here, maybe you can suggest that Al Avila may have waited a little bit longer. If JD Martinez possibly gets hot out of nowhere in the days leading up to July 31st, maybe there's a team out there that will be willing to ship a big name in exchange for JD, but that's a crapshoot. You know, I think that Al looked at this move and said that, okay, it's highly unlikely that JD Martinez is going to get that hot. We've got a good offer on the table, solid prospects. Let's just take what we could get right now. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Jacob, final thoughts?
I actually just want to run something by you real quick.
Yes.
And get your thoughts on it. What if the Tigers, because Verlander and Cabrera are obviously on the market, but they're making a lot of money, and I don't know any team that's going to want to take a hefty chunk of that contract.
Right.
What if you pair one of those players up with JD, trade them, say, you know, we'll give you JD or take on Verlander or Miggy's contract, or at least most of it, but we'll also give you JD Martinez, who's a star right fielder and one of the best hitters in baseball.
Well, that's the thing. You have to have a team that's willing to take on the contract, the big contracts of a Justin Verlander or Miguel Cabrera, in addition to $4 million on top of that with JD Martinez. I think you're looking at a big money swap there, and I don't know if there's many teams that are willing to take that kind of risk, especially when you look at how JV has not had a great season. He's been trending downward, if you ask me. So they may look at that proposal and say that, okay, yeah, JD's hot as a batter, but he's got that $4.8 million looming. JV already has a hefty billing of a contract left, and he hasn't been playing lights-out baseball on the mound. So I think that was highly unlikely.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that any
thought,
team
though
would take on that whole contract. That's, I mean, no one would do that. But
right.
I think if you're the Tigers, you could at least say you could get a team to take on maybe a little bit more because you're throwing them, JD into the mix. But just a thought. I don't mean that my GM
an
hat
interesting
on here.
Thought. Yeah, I think that's an interesting thought to kind of toy around with. But again, I don't think there's many teams that are willing to go that route, especially those who are already in contention of the playoffs right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we will invite live here to Studio S, Trevor Manuel, former Lansing hoop great, who will be making another transfer. He'll be announcing where he will be taking his basketball talents to next, live here on our airwaves. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, if you want to weigh in on anything we've been chatting about, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number. We spent segment A talking about, of course, the big news in professional sports here in the state of Michigan, especially, of course, the city of Detroit, that being the J.D. Martinez trade, the Tigers trading J.D. Martinez for prospects. A move that many saw coming, but I don't think a move that many would have predicted they would get three unnamed prospects in return for, in Dowell Lugo, Sergio Alcantara, and Jose King. What do you think about the move? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, you know, I thought about this, Isaac, and I really think it'll be cool. Tomorrow will be my last day before heading out to Vegas for a bachelor party, actually. One of my frat brothers is getting married. You'll be holding down the fort on Friday. But I think tomorrow I want to do something cool with your theory about the new Kendrick Lamar album.
Ooh,
it is an
okay.
amazing album. I think an argument can be made. And I had to confirm your revelations that we sat down and talked about yesterday. This may be the greatest hip-hop album of all time, arguably one of the best albums, period, no matter the genre, of all time. So we'll get to that on Thursday. How's that
Yes,
sound?
Please. Yes, please. As I've said, everybody else can deal with the hot takes because I think it's the best work of art since William Shakespeare. I go that far back.
He is not joking, folks. He stands by that statement. All right. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. You guys know him very well. He is a staple when it comes to Lansing basketball. I covered him when he was back in high school. He, of course, started his career with Lansing Sexton, then decided to he transferred and then came back and wrapped up his senior season at Lansing Everett. Went on to play basketball at the University of Oregon, then transferred to Loyola Marymount in L.A. And in just a moment, don't want to let the cat out the bag just yet, but in just a moment, he will be talking about his next basketball destination. His name is Trevor Manuel, and you can catch him on a few Tuesday and Thursday nights down at AIM High Sports Complex in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. Trevor, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Always good to see you, dude. And, you know, the first time I saw you in a while was actually a few weeks ago when you balled out in the Moneyball League Summer mm-hmm. Pro-Am. Our current sports interns, Karina Garcia and Jacob Herbert, they interviewed you after a game just to see what you've been up to. And, of course, this is the product of that moment because now we get to kind of dig deep into what you've been up to since your high school days. Mm-hmm. First, I want to just ask you, dude, how fun is it playing in the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am? And do you kind of use it as a competitive atmosphere to see where your game is in comparison to some of the greats here in the state of Michigan?
Oh, I think it's a great league, and I love being back and playing in front of all the Lansing locals and all the fans around that I got around here. It's just great being back in front of them again. I haven't been here since my senior year of high school, so it's just nice being able to see all the fans again.
Definitely. We didn't see you last night. I'm wondering, are you going to be on the hardwood on Thursday?
I'm thinking I will be, yes. I had a pretty tough workout yesterday, so I was just trying to let my body recover.
Nice. It never stops, right? The grind never ends.
Nope.
Now, you know, I'm curious to talk about your relationships that you still have here in the area, especially when it comes to players that you played with while a high school basketball star here in Lansing. Last week, as you know, we actually had James Brown on the show. James is a player who played with you back in high school, great young man, and James is actually going to be joining us in a few weeks to talk about his next venture in the world of basketball. But he mentioned you and how you all still talk and keep in touch. And I wanted to ask you, since you're here in studio now, what's that relationship like with James as well as other former teammates from your Lansing basketball days?
My relationship with James, we're real close. I look at him like he's family to me. I mean, we really created our bond when he moved out to L.A. as well last year. And I just remember us spending a lot of time in my gym and his gym as well, and just putting in them countless hours together. And we just grew like family ever since then.
What's the conversations you both have? Because you're both players who are trying to reach a certain level of basketball excellence, chasing that dream. I'm sure you both have. Well, James actually stated on our airwaves, he has dreams of playing professional. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't when you're playing collegiately, right? What are the conversations that you two have when discussing the journey, the tough journey that is trying to make your mark and let the basketball world know how good you are?
We both actually, like, we know that we both want to play in the NBA, and we just tell each other every day to keep on grinding, and we're just there for each other for supporting it. Whenever we're feeling down, he texts me when he's feeling down, I text him when I'm feeling down, and we're just there for each other and letting each other know that if we keep on putting in this work, that we both will be at the top one day.
You talk about you guys texting back and forth when you both are down, because there are many down days mm-hmm. in this journey, right? What are those conversations like specifically between you two?
We just tell each other that no matter, like, we just talk about how life is a roller coaster, and you're never going to just be always up. You had to come down sometimes, and we're just there for each other for mental support or whatever we have to do for each other, just to make sure we get past what we're going through, and we just keep on fighting for what we're dreaming for.
That bond is still very close between you two,
very
right?
close, yes.
Now, Trevor, I want to go back in time real briefly here. You were a 4-star recruit, of course, coming out of Lansing at Lansing Everett High School. You averaged a double-double your senior year at Lansing Everett. What do you miss about those days balling out for now former Lansing Everett basketball coach and founder of actually the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, Desmond Ferguson? What do you miss about your high school playing days?
Back then, it was just more just going out there and playing basketball. And now, like, being in college is a lot of other things that's a part of the journey as well. But back then, it just used to be going out there and lace them up and just have fun. And it's fun still in college, but it's more of a job. But back right. then, it was just you go out there and you just having fun every day on the court.
Well, you hear that conversation a lot when you see a player make the leap to the pros, right? Basketball, you start to see it as a business, right? But you even see it now as a business yep. in the collegiate ranks as well. There's other things that basketball entails when playing collegiately as opposed to in high school. You're just playing for the love of the game, mm-hmm. right? What are those things that make it a business in college?
I mean, really just like the very early mornings and just being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and everything like that. Like you have people you have to answer to every day. Being a college player, you just have to stick to your schedules and everything like that. So it's not really challenging, but it's a grind as well.
Trevor, I remember when we had your father as well as yourself on Current Sports TV right before you took off to, of course, take your basketball talents at the time to Oregon. You decided to go to Oregon. A special class that year actually that went to the Elite Eight. You requested a transfer 14 games in. Can you take us through what led to that decision? What weren't you happy with that led to you saying, you know what, maybe this isn't the best fit for me?
I felt like I seen like everybody on the team was getting their shot, and I feel like I wasn't getting mine. It might have been because I was a freshman, but I felt like that wasn't the right fit for me as well as like L.A., but I just felt like I deserved more than what I got, and I was putting in a lot of work, grinding for what I really for my dream, and I just felt like being at that program that it wasn't going to happen.
Did you have discussions with the coaching staff or other teammates about that, and what was the response, if so?
Miss, I talked to the coaches about playing time before, and I told them we sat in the room and talked about everything, and he just told me this wasn't my time right now, and I felt like that wasn't fair for me saying it's not my time because there's elders ahead of me that they're more focused on. So,
were there teammates that agreed with that stance that said, okay, you are putting in a lot of work, I don't know why you're getting playing time? Were there teammates that agreed with you and had your back, or were they just basically saying, hey, you're a freshie, your time will come.
I mean, I got a little bit of both. I had those teammates that were kind of like looking out for themselves and saying that if you stick to the program, your time will come. But I also had teammates that were telling me, we don't know what's going on. You're putting in this work, and this is life, really.
When you saw your fellow teammates after you decided to transfer, go to the Elite Eight, was that tough for you to sit back and watch it all? Did you watch it at all, and what was going through your head?
Oh, yeah, I watched. After I transferred, I watched almost every game. I mean, I kept in close contact with most of those players, and I was just happy for them. I mean, just being there, putting in the summer hours with them, and during those hours in practice, even during the season, it was great to see all the hard work that we put in, and I know they were still working hard when I left. It was great to see that pay off for them.
No sense of regret when watching how they were able to take off?
None at all, because I know God has a plan for me, and I just have to follow his journey, and he'll take me where I'm supposed to be.
Preach on, brother. If you're just now joining us here to WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with former Lansing Hoop great Trevor Manuel, who in just a moment will be announcing where he will be taking his basketball talents to next. Your minutes doubled, Trevor, when you decided to go to Loyola Marymount in L.A., you averaged during that time, though, in just about 21 minutes per game, 5 points, 2 rebounds. What led to your numbers, and were you unhappy there?
Yeah, I was very unhappy since, like, that was never the right fit for me, like, going in there. The coaches, I felt like they had something against me. Like, they told me I wasn't to be trusted and everything like that. So coming in, and they're not telling me this on my recruiting trip. They're telling me everything I want to hear. And when I get there, it's a completely whole different story. So stepping in there on day one, it was tough, and it was a wake-up call for me as well.
What led to that shift? I mean, they're telling you everything you want to hear on the recruiting trip, and you're saying, okay, this may be a good fit for me, and then you're hearing dialogue that you can't be trusted. What did they mean by that?
I have no idea. He was like, my coach was going around talking to the other players and telling them to watch out for me and everything like that. And I'm a good kid, I feel like. And I have no idea where that came from or what he heard to even go tell those other people that. But it was bad vibes the whole time I was there.
So this wasn't a gradual thing that led to your coach saying these things. Mm-hmm. It was like off the bat? Off bat when you got there.
One of the first weeks I got there, my teammate came up to me, he was like, yeah, coach said we shouldn't trust you and everything like that. But they told me that they wanted me to buy in, and they wanted me to be a part of the team. So they felt like they had to open up and tell that with me. And I was just really shocked to hear that.
So I'm sure you sat down with your coach. And what was that conversation like? When did you address that to him, saying, okay, why are you going around saying I can't be trusted?
I never addressed that to him. I just made sure I told my teammates all the time, I'm here, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes because I want to win, and I'm trying to do that. But me and my coach had plenty of other conversations about other things as well through the time being there.
So your relationship with the coaching staff was a bit strained there.
Yeah.
What was it like with your teammates?
I loved them all. Like we felt like brothers. We were all really close, and we were always there for each other. And that part was great. Just being there, making them connections with those guys, they were amazing.
As that year went along, when did you know? When was the specific moment that you knew that, okay, I need to go somewhere else?
Probably after like the third conference game.
Okay, so it was some time into the season, then, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
All right. When you hear the outside chatter, Trevor, because the outside chatter is always there, right? Basketball fans out there that will evaluate your career so far and say, okay, he went to Oregon, transferred. He went to Loyola Marymount out in L.A., and now he's transferring again. Why can't he stay in one spot, face the music, face the criticism, and let patience breed possibly something special? When you hear that criticism, how do you respond to that?
I mean, I just let my work respond, really. I mean, I hear it all the time, people talking about how much I transfer and all things like that. But, I mean, I know what's best for me, and so does God. I mean, I just got to follow his plan. I feel like he's giving me signs and telling me what to do throughout the way. I mean, it may not seem like the best thing at the moment, but I feel like at the end, it'll all be worth it.
How much does that annoy you? And who have you heard that criticism from?
I've heard it from, like, a lot of people on the streets, like people I see out in public, they're just like, oh, why you leave Oregon? I know you probably regret it, but it's never like that. I know at the end of the day, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to because I'm never going to stop until I get there. I'm always working every day, and I know that the hard working is going to pay off.
Trevor, you're obviously very close with your dad, and that's just one of the things I admire about you, too. That bond that you guys share, it's so organic and so genuine. How involved was your father? I'm sure he was very involved in the process of deciding, okay, these two stops have not been the fit. And also, two-part question here, what advice has he given you in dealing with that criticism you just addressed?
I mean, he just tells me to look past everything and just stay focused. I know I can go to my dad at any time of the day and call him, and he'll be there with nothing but love and advice for me. And I know he has his best interest for me, and he wants nothing but the best for me. So I know I could call him and talk to him about anything I want, and I know everything he says is going to be love, and it's going to be what I need to hear and not what I want to hear.
Okay. All right. Well, we have just under, 7 minutes left here, Isaac. Do we have a drum roll at all? Can you cue up a drum roll? Is that something
I'll work on it. It's a little tough on short notice. I'm going to try to drum one up for you.
if you can, that'd be great because, I first off, before you announce where you will be taking your talents for a third time now, Trevor, will this be the final stop?
Yes, no, this will be the final destination.
This will be the final destination until you decide to test your waters in the pro level, right?
Yes.
And per transfer rules, what will happen with this next move?
For this next move, I'll be able to play right away.
You'll be able to play right away. Yeah. No waiting at all. You'll be able to play this upcoming year then,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, and you'll be a junior?
Junior, yes.
You'll be a junior, so you'll be playing two seasons at this destination.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have it? Okay. We skip it then, Isaac. We're probably not going to get to it. I'll do my own drum roll here. Okay, Trevor Emmanuel, where will you be taking your basketball talents next, my man?
Next year, I'll be playing at Olivet College.
Olivet College.
Yes, sir.
Round of applause. Where is that located for those that don't know?
In Olivet, Michigan.
In Olivet, Michigan. You're returning to the state of Michigan, playing close to home where family and friends can see you on any given night. What led to this decision? Why do you believe this is the best and final fit for you collegiately?
Because it's the coach there, his name's Steve Ernst. I've had a relationship with him ever since I was a young kid. He really like kind of introduced me to basketball and everything like that, along with my dad. And they've always, him and his mom and dad, always been family to me. So I'm just thinking that I feel like they had their best interest for me as well. Like, they're like family. They want nothing for the best for me. So I know I can trust them with this last decision.
And, Steve, this will be his first season as head coach, I believe?
I think it's his second season.
His second season. And he is Steve Ernst, for those that don't know, and those that do follow local hoops, Steve Ernst is actually the former basketball coach at Charlotte. So you guys have a close relationship. What has he told you about how you will fit into the Olivet College men's basketball system?
Really, he knows what potential I have, and he just wants me to go out there and just play hard because, he knows if I can do that, I could play really good, and he knows that I'm one of the best players in the country, and we could do something really special there.
What are your goals coming into this year, Trevor?
My goals are to be the D3 player of the year and lead my team to a conference and national championship on the D3 level.
How badly and how big is the chip on your shoulder, and how badly do you want to prove to all of the doubters out there? You hear the chatter, you hear it on the streets, you're transferring again. How badly do you want to prove those people wrong?
Yeah, very bad. I mean, I just wake up every morning and just go out there, and that's just my main focus, just to be able to show everybody that I'm doing something special, because not everybody gets that opportunity. And I know a lot of people have their doubts in me, but I just want to prove them wrong.
So you think about this a lot then, right?
Every day.
All right. For those that haven't seen your game, Trevor, who do you try to pattern your game after? Any pro baller out there?
I wouldn't say it's just one in particular.
Okay.
But I try to, shoot pretty good like Kevin Durant. I try to pass. I'm not even trying to compare myself to Magic Johnson, but I try to do the flashy passes like him once in a while, and I try to keep it after them too.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing that basketball arsenal on display at Olivet College. Again, Trevor Manuel transferring to Olivet College. He will be playing this upcoming year under the leadership of former Charlotte boys basketball coach Steve Ernst. Trevor, we wish you well, and thanks so much for coming in studio and announcing that via our airwaves.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Always, Trevor. All right, let's hit our final break. Isaac will come back and put a brief bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. To WKAR's Current Sports, we have about 90 seconds left in the show. A brief bow on today's show. Again, things to note. We discussed, of course, the Detroit Tigers' J.D. Martinez trade for three prospects in Doel Lugo, Sergio Alcantara, and Jose King. We just finished up an in-studio chat with former Lansing local hoop star Trevor Manuel. He will be transferring for a second time to Olivet College here in Michigan. Great stuff for local hoop fans who followed Trevor here in the state during his Sexton and Everett days, right, Isaac?
Excellent. Now I was talking to his father, James, behind the glass here, and I know he's excited to see his kid play a little bit closer to home, a few less West Coast trips, I imagine. But, no, it's a great fit right there. Steve Ernst, too. Could not be a better coach, a better fit, better guy to lead that program.
I think this is the right fit for Trevor. He says this will be his last stop as he will be a junior this upcoming basketball year. Real briefly, Isaac, we'll start the show with this conversation tomorrow. Over or under 6 wins for Michigan State football next year?
At 6 wins exactly. That's
six
what I
said.
6
wins exactly. You think they just become bowl eligible?
I think so. How about you? How about you?
Well, I'll tell you what, the folks have to tune in tomorrow, 1
Good
p.m.
Plug.
I'm here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We'll see you then, folks. As always, take care and be easy, people.